Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for the prayers and cards and text messages and phone calls that have been made in the last 4 weeks, believe it or not, on my behalf. And it's been an interesting journey, one I don't want to take again, one I don't want any of you to take. And thank especially those of you who filled in and preached in my absence, especially those of you that first Sunday morning, because it came on all of a sudden and didn't get notification till Sunday morning, actually. So I know it's required a special effort on your part, and it's much appreciated by me as well as by the brethren here. Very thankful for each of you. Very sorry that I wasn't able to be with you all as we mutually mourned the passing of John Conrad and Freddie Harry. Would have liked to have been with you and been able to visit with you and talk with you, but just wasn't able to do that. That's my greatest regret. Appreciate very much the song that was led before the lesson here this morning, because it goes along with the lesson this morning. It goes along with the thoughts that we've had in the last few weeks of several loved ones who have passed from our midst. And we're certainly made aware of the fact that our life is brief, that we're not guaranteed an X amount of days. We never know when the end of our life might come. And so I'd like to consider with you some thoughts. You know, we have questions about spiritual matters. Am I right with God? Where do I stand with God? If I was to die, if the Lord was to return, where do I stand with God? And I hope that each and every one of us here this morning will be able to answer that question with absolute certainty based upon what the Word of God tells us about that subject. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, we read, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The first thing we need to notice is that only God can sanctify us completely. And when he sanctifies us completely, sets apart. Sanctify means to set apart for a holy purpose. God can do that, and only God can do that, and God can do that completely. But we notice here that he says that man has a dual nature, a physical nature and a spiritual nature. We are aware of our physical and emotional conditions. We are aware of the fact that we are young and old and healthy or sick, happy or sad, all of the things that we experience as a human being. We are aware of the fact that we are a male or a female, that we are heavy or thin, and all of the different things that we could talk about us in our physical condition. To see ourselves spiritually, however, we are dependent on the revelation of God's Word. Where do we stand with God? We've all asked ourselves that question, and God has given us the answers. And it's to God, who alone is able to sanctify us completely, that we must go for the answers. The Word of God reveals that we may be found in one of five different spiritual conditions. And so I'd like to examine those this morning with you. The first one is what we might call a see as a condition as safe or innocent. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 2 through 4, Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, in the context here, it would be most correct to say to become as a little child means to become humble. And certainly, little children are humble. And to come to God, we must humble ourselves before Him and acknowledge that the way of life and the way to God is not within us, that God has revealed that way to us and that He teaches it to us. But there is another aspect that we are to become as little children. Little children are without sin. Notice Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Contrary to the false doctrines of men that say that we inherit the sins of our fathers, of our forefathers, all the way back to Adam, the Word of God plainly reveals that the soul who sins shall die. And if we don't understand that, he makes it very clear when he says, "The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father." We do not inherit the sins of our parents and those who have lived before us. And so when we are born, if we don't inherit sin, then when we are born without sin. We are born pure before God. We are born innocent of sin. We are born innocent of righteousness. We don't know good from bad, right from wrong. It would be wonderful if we could stay in such a state, wouldn't it? Just not knowing wrong. It'd be great if wrong had never entered on the face of the earth, but it has. And so we deal with that. Little children and those without mental capabilities are in a safe condition spiritually. God will take care of them. But there's another condition that each and every one of us, for the most part here, find ourselves in, and that is a condition of being lost. Again, we come back to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, and it says, "The soul who sins shall die." Romans 3 and verse 23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness." Sin is outside and against the law of God. James 4 and verse 17, "To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." When God teaches us the right thing to do and we say, "Well, I'm not going to do that," well, that is sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 says, "Your iniquities," or your sins, "have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." So many passages that we can turn to that clearly indicate to us that when we transgress the will of God as it is revealed in His Word, we are separated from God spiritually. Now, we continue to experience and participate in the general blessings of God that are part of this life, the physical blessings of sunshine and rain and water and air to breathe and all of those things that we rejoice in physically, God sends those things on the righteous and on the unrighteous. But spiritually, we are separated from God. Spiritually, we are in a dark place, whether we realize it or not. Spiritually, we are separated from all of the spiritual blessings that are available only to us in and through Christ Jesus. Yes, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all been separated from God spiritually. You don't want to be separated from God. We might not fully appreciate what that means as we live this physical life. But as we look into God's Word, we recognize that when we're separated from God, we are separated from life spiritually. That we are dead spiritually. That we are without hope spiritually. We might say, if somebody was asking us, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? We might say, well, I hope so. But you're hoping against hope if you sinned against God, if you're lost. That hope is only validated in Christ. When one reaches the age that they can understand sin and its consequences, and he chooses to sin, they are lost. They are separated from God and his blessings. Most of us have reached that age. Sometimes we call it an age of accountability. When we're in this safe condition, we're not accountable for our sins. We might do things that are against God, but God will overlook them. When we get to the point to where we recognize that something is a transgression against the will of God, that it's wrong not just because mom and dad says it's wrong. It's wrong not just because we feel it's wrong. It's wrong because God identifies it as being wrong, as a sin. And we say, well, I'm going to do that anyway. Then we separate ourselves from God. But there's a third spiritual condition that the Bible identifies to us as a saved condition. We were once lost, but we can be saved. God wants all of us to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and verses 3 through 4 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God desires all men to be saved. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter what your country of origin is. God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, sometimes we get to looking at things and we categorize things, don't we? We might want to buy a car, or we want to buy something and we look at it, and maybe a computer, and so we say, well, what's the best one? And we might look those things up and see what people say is the best and what's the worst. And you certainly don't want the worst one. And you might say, well, I don't know if I want to pay the money for the best one. Someplace here in the middle, that's probably good enough. And sometimes we settle for that and are content with it. But we do the same things with ourselves spiritually, don't we? We compare ourselves among ourselves like the Corinthians do, which is not wise. And we say, well, I know that I'm not as good as Jesus, but I'm not as bad as Satan. I'm someplace in the middle. Everybody has their faults. I do good things and I do bad things. And we get to thinking that we can offset the bad things by the good things we do. And we say, well, I'm mostly good. And so God will probably look favorably upon that. Well, that's the way that the human mind rationalizes things. But that's not what God has revealed in His Word. God says the soul who sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. One sin separates us from God. One lie separates us from God. One evil thought separates us from God. To look upon another and to lust after them will separate us from God. So we might try to justify ourselves and say, well, I'm not as bad as, but the point remains, we have sinned. And we have separated ourselves from God. And we are lost. If we are lost and separated from God and we die physically, you realize the word death implies a separation. We know what physical death is. Physical death is when our spirit is separated from our physical body. Spiritual death is when our spirit is separated from God. And God says that separation takes place when we sin. I shared with some who were able to attend Dale's funeral on Monday. You know, you might remember a few months ago that Debbie and I participated in a first aid class that was given by the county. And one of the things that the instructor said several times, actually, was, we can't fix death. And what they were saying was, you know, that in CPR and stuff, when you have to compress the chest to pump the heart, that sometimes the breastbone breaks. That's okay, she said. We can fix those. We can't fix dead. I thought a lot about that. There is somebody who can fix dead. God fixes dead. God fixes death spiritually. God can save us. God will pay the price of our sin in the death of His Son. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Why did Jesus shed His blood on the cross? For the remission of our sins. Why did Jesus die? Not because He had sinned, because there was no cause of death in Him, but He died to pay the price for our sin, that we might be able to live, that we might be saved. God clearly desires that all men be saved. As John 3:16 says, God so loved. How much does God love us? He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave His Son in death to pay the price for our sin, that we might trust Him and obey Him and be saved. How does that work, actually? Well, there are many passages that we can turn to, but Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24 that we have to believe in Him. He says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So, if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you will not trust Him, if you will not obey Him, you will die in your sins. Sometimes people read this and mistakenly come to the thing that this is just talking about a mental assent. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's certainly part of belief here, but the word believe is used here in a comprehensive sense, that if you believe him, then you'll trust him and you'll obey him. You will do what he says to do. James reasons with us, you believe there is one God? That's good. You know, the demons believe also and tremble. The demons believe there is one God. The demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons believe that you have to believe in Christ in order to be saved, but they will not do it. They will not trust him. They will not obey him. They will not do his will as he stipulates that we do it. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God but will not obey him, your faith is not any better than that of the demons. But we must believe that he is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. In Luke 13, verse 3 and 5, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. The word repent means to turn around. The word repent means to recognize that I am sinning, that I am lost, that I am going away from God, but I'm going to turn around. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to turn from my sin to practice his righteousness. I'm going to turn from myself to live to his glory and to his praise in doing the things that he teaches me to do from his word. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Certainly Jesus was talking about a one-time confession, like we see with the Ethiopian treasurer when he was studying. They were going on their way, and he said, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, they commanded the chariot to stand still. They got out of the chariot, they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him, immersed him in water. Certainly, confession here includes that first confession of, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that acknowledgement. But Jesus is also talking about here a lifelong confession, a lifelong profession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus will continue to confess you before the Father. In Mark 16 and verse 16, in verse 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. At what point do I change from being lost to being saved? Is it at the point of acknowledging that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Is it at the point where you say, I'm going to turn, I'm going to change, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to follow him? Is it when I confess him to be the Son of God? No, the point at which we are saved is the point at which we are baptized for the remission of our sins, as we read in Acts 2 and verse 38. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then, as we've noticed this morning, even in our adult Bible study, John 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, it's not once saved, always saved. It's now you're saved because you have heard and believed and have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now continue in the doctrine of Christ. If you realize that you are lost and need to obey the gospel, You need to obey the gospel in order to be saved. Only God can save us. And God saves us only in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, these are the things that you have to do. Believe that I am He. Turn to me. Turn from your sin to me. Confess me before men. Always. Be baptized for the remission of your sins to be saved. And continue to abide in my word. But there's a third spiritual condition, a fourth spiritual condition. And I call that worse than lost. It's not once we're saved, we're always saved. The Bible indicates to us that after we have been saved, we can make a decision to turn away from God. We love Him by keeping His word. But if we choose to love ourselves rather than Him, we can turn away from Him. It's our choice. Peter talks about this, about those who begin to hear false doctrines and false teachers. He says, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure you through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is brought into bondage. Now notice as he continues. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? If after they are saved. If after they have washed away their sins in the blood of Christ, in obeying Him in baptism. If after they have made that turn to righteousness, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world by hearing the Word of God and obeying it, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog is returned to its own vomit. And the sow, having been washed, to her wallowing in the mire. It would have been better, he said, not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment. And as you think about that, you might say, well, why would that be? I mean, if you're lost, you're lost, right? No. No, there's a story told to us. Jesus tells us about two men who died. One was a rich man, the other was a beggar by the name of Lazarus. They both died. The rich man found himself in torment. Yet, that's where you would find yourself if you're separated from God. If you're separated from your physical body and you're in a spiritual realm of being separated from God, you'd be in a place of darkness, in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible tells us, a place where this man says, I am tormented in this flame. But he remembered his former life. He remembered his brothers, and he wanted Lazarus to go back and to warn his brothers lest they come to this place of torment. What does that tell us? It tells us that when we die, we will remember our life. Can you imagine being a Christian, being baptized for the remission of your sins, rejoicing in your hope of heaven, and then turning from God and His way to practice sin? You know it's a practice of sin. And because of that, you're separated from God once again, and you'll find yourself in that place of torment, but you'll be there remembering There was a point in your life that you had escaped that realm. There was a point in your life that you were saved from that. And you made the conscientious choice to gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Then embrace the life that is in Christ Jesus. Indeed, the latter end is worse than the first. There might be some here today who are in that worse than lost condition. The New Testament clearly indicates that Christians will find themselves making mistakes, embracing false doctrines, practicing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are called out of that. We can be restored. Again, I remind you, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, even the one who has sinned after they were saved." God wants you to repent. He wants you to obey Him, to return to Him. In Acts chapter 8, we read of a sorcerer in Samaria who became a Christian, but later sinned. He was confronted for his sin. Peter here tells him, "Repent of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you." Repent and pray. As a child of God, we have access to the forgiveness of our sins by repenting, confessing, and praying to Him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess," this is written to Christians, "if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It makes no difference what sin we have committed after we have become a child of God. God says, if you'll turn from that, confess it, I will forgive you of that sin, and your hope of eternal life is restored and renewed. So I ask you a question this morning. In what condition has the Word of God revealed your soul to be in today? Are you safe? Some here today are. There are some in our auditorium today who are safe, who are innocent of unrighteousness and sin. But most of us will find ourselves either in the category of the lost or of the saved, of worse than lost or restored and saved. If you're here this morning and you find yourself lost, separated from God by your sin, or worse than lost, separated from God by your sin, and you need to make things right with God, I encourage you to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, where he says, "In the acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You and I live in a wonderful age. We live in the time that we don't anticipate God offering the sacrifice for sin, but we realize that sacrifice for sin has been offered, and that we can be forgiven of our sins immediately when we obey God and keep His commandments. Now is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you recognize that you're lost, or that you're in that worse than lost condition. Let today be a day of salvation, having heard His word with a sincere heart, desiring to love Him and serve Him and glorify Him with your life. Be saved. Be restored. Whatever your condition might be today, we're ready to assist you if you are lost worse than lost. All things are ready. If your soul is ready to obey Him, serve Him, and live for Him, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?